I tried to talk to the people with the server and everything and what's going on, and these cocksuckers still fucking do that shit. They still come in there and try and fuck around with us while we're trying to get going.
And I want to say good evening to you and good evening to all of our guests.
And good evening.
And them cocksuckers out there doing that, I guess.
Exactly.
Yes. We don't want to forget those people. That wouldn't be right.
No.
You know, it's been a crazy week. Crazy week.
Right.
Should we talk about some of the DMV BS? You want to talk about some of the military stuff?
Well, today I had a very good day, Bill. And until I got home and these cocksuckers were fucking with me. But I talked to a few people here and there, and then I showed you this yesterday, and I showed you some of the pictures from today. I have to get permission to take them, though, because they're on somebody else's thing.
Mm-hmm.
Once I get them. But we had a keel-laying ceremony for the LEAD, which LEAD means First Mobile Landing Platform for the Marine Corps. And it was held at Masco today. And it was in the Graving Dock at 10:30. Now, the Graving Dock
in San Diego for you people. Okay.
Right next to the Navy base, though. I bounced back and forth. Right now I'm working on the Harpers Ferry over underneath the Coronado Bridge. But they invited everybody to come at 10:30. And this Graving Dock, half a mile long.
Yeah.
One block wide. And you build a ship in there. Ryan, you're unmuted for right now. And you build a ship in there. And then Pat Mills, she's the wife of the Marine Corps Lieutenant General Richard P. Mills, who was there today. He's the deputy.
He's a good guy too, I heard.
Yeah, he's the deputy.
I'm not saying we're tight. I mean, but he's a good guy.
No, I got pictures and stuff with him. But like I said, they're on somebody else. I got to get permission. But you know, I hang out with the generals and stuff. You know. Well, you know, if you're gonna do it, you got to do it at the top.
Like it is.
You got to do it at the top. Anyway. He's the commandant for the Combat Development Integration, which which is what they go pick the stuff that the guys are going to use in the field. So he was the honoree for the ceremony, and his wife, she was able to weld her initials in the keel. Actually, it was welded on the plate, and then she welded the plate to the...
How could she weld something on the plate?
I'm going to get to that.
Good.
She was there early this morning. I showed you the picture.
Okay.
And she was certifying... She was getting certified to weld this today.
No shit.
Legit. Yeah, because there's no sense in somebody else doing it for her when she's the honoree. So, and anyway, the first ship will probably deliver in 2013. It's 765 feet long. They'll be used for staging areas. Now, I told you about this one. This one goes down 25 feet in the water, comes up. It's a low mobile landing platform.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like having a dry dock at sea or a graving dock at sea. And then the Secretary of the Navy, he announced that it's going to be named the Montford Point. Do you remember what that was?
Yes, I do. I definitely do.
What was it?
That was for the North Carolina facility where 20,000 African-American Marines were trained over 7 years. Starting in 1942.
Which a lot of them were pilots. If you remember during the war, they called them the Red Tails in that movie. I think that movie comes out this week.
Yes.
What's up, Ryan?
Tuscanese Airmen. Yes.
Right. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How's everybody doing today?
We're doing fine. Did you hear all that shit that Phillip's doing? He's out there welding and schmoozing with the big cheese?
Yeah, it makes me feel like a little peon. I didn't do anything today. Oh, well, I guess. So did you happen to get that email I sent you about that shit happening in New York?
You picked it up, Phil, what he said?
I'm sorry.
Happen to get that email I sent you about that shit happening in New York?
Yeah, I was going to go to that, but I figured I'd let you bring that one in. And then right now you got a lot of static, so don't yell on your phone. Just kind of try and talk.
Okay, is that any better?
Yeah.
Much better.
Okay, sorry, I had you in my pocket. I was trying to get some stuff around the house to have you on speaker.
I don't want to be in your pocket, dude. Bill, you want to be in his pocket?
No, brother.
I'm being cautious.
Well, there is that. I can't say that I blame you there.
Okay. See, I knew this is an agreeable guy. He's an agreeable guy. So, well, let me pull that up, what you're talking about, and I'll lead into it, and then I'll turn it over to you. But,
okay. It was just another second here.
Yeah, right here, Bill. This one is called, Should New York Tourists Have Their Lives Destroyed Because of Concealed Carry Laws?
Hmm.
What do you think, Bill?
We were saying that they're not allowed to carry concealed weapons anymore? Is that the crux?
Yeah, here you go. Just a few days before Christmas, Meredith Graves made a mistake that could end her medical career and send her to prison for at least 3.5 years. The 39-year-old fourth-year medical student was carrying a permitted concealed handgun when she saw the sign at the 9/11 memorial saying, no guns allowed. She did the responsible thing and asked a security guard where she could check her weapon. That's where she fucked up. She should have asked a cop, not a security guard, because he thought he was overzealous, them fuckers. You want to stick that baton up their ass. Anyway, she did the responsible thing and asked the security guard where she could check her weapon. Unfortunately, while her Tennessee concealed carry license is recognized in 40 states, New York isn't one of them. They got their own fucking thing.
Yeah, different states too.
Yeah, so Meredith was arrested. Just a week earlier, Californian Mark Meckler told LaGuardia Airport officials that he had a licensed handgun in a locked safe and a checked baggage. At virtually any other airport in the country, checking a gun locked in a box wouldn't be a problem. Meckler was arrested and charged with second-degree possession of an illegal firearm or illegal weapons. He faces up to 15 years in prison, Bill. Even New York's second most powerful Democrat and strong gun control advocate, Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver, thinks that tourists who accidentally break the state's law, strict carry laws, shouldn't have their lives destroyed. Her actions show a clear indication that she didn't know she was breaking the law, and when she saw the sign, she said, okay, I do have a gun, take it from me. There was no criminal intent. They fucked her anyway. As the Tennessee newspaper, Nashville, put it, Meredith's arrest highlights the confusing patchwork of concealed weapons laws across the nation. That's why I post that. I've been posting it every day since it came out, Bill. The knife laws in California, what's legal to carry?
Yeah, exactly. You know, just very quickly, too, you know, India now, San Diego, he's got, like, license, like, 12 states, not California. And so it goes from state to state. We need to get some type of uniformity here.
Right.
You got to be able to go from state to state knowing what the hell's going on. Same thing with motorcycles and cars. How can something be legal in one state and illegal in another? What are we, you know, lawyers, for Christ's sake?
No, Bill, you know how these fuckers are. They write
revenue,
shit.
Revenue.
It's all it is. It's the biggest fucking Ponzi scheme going. Now, just to get into it a little more, but New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg and the local district attorney didn't seem interested in showing any mercy. They took a zero-tolerance approach towards these mistakes. Indeed, a week after Gray's arrest, Mayor Bloomberg attacked her at a press conference claiming, let's assume she didn't get arrested for carrying a gun. She probably would have got arrested for the cocaine that was in her pocket.
Well, how the hell the cocaine? Well, wait a minute now.
When she got arrested, they found cocaine in her pocket.
Well,
she
actually,
had
they didn't.
And oranges. Yeah, that's apples and oranges. Though.
Exactly.
Well, the thing is, he pulled that out of his ass. They determined later she had no cocaine. He just pulled that out of his ass.
Oh.
So she ought to be hitting him for slander and defamation of character and all kinds of shit. Because they even go, I think, a little bit further in the article. I don't have it in front of me here.
Well, I've got it here. I was going through the tidbits on it, but,
okay.
All right. He said, let's assume, right, she had that the cocaine was in her pocket, but the same day that Manhattan District Attorney's Office acknowledged that Graves did not have any cocaine, okay? At the Republican presidential debate last night in South Carolina, sponsored by Fox, Republican candidates competed with each other over demonstrating who was the strongest supporter of letting Americans have the right to defend themselves. It is an issue that President Obama's consistent opposition. I read this shit, I get pissed off. Consistent opposition to gun ownership makes him particularly vulnerable on stopping, showing no signs of stopping. But last night, no one took up the cause from Graves, Meckler, and others who have their lives risked, destroyed by the New York City laws. For decades, treating licenses for guns like those for cars was a mantra among gun control advocates. Yet you don't need a driver's license to drive a car on private property, merely on public roads. And once you get a license, you're allowed to drive any car on any public road anywhere in America. Now, see? It says it right there.
It says it right there.
Do
but
we
the
get,
each state is
do
different,
we,
though.
Right,
no.
But do we get to travel freely?
No, of course
fuck
not.
Fuck no. That's what sucks.
We can't go from city to city, then like state to state.
Exactly. So you are responsible for obeying the different traffic regulations in different states, which we're going to touch on tonight because on the 6th of January, and I got this email, and it says, Californians, be very careful out there. But we'll go into that after we finish with this. So the above-mentioned four individuals learned current gun laws are much more restrictive than those that apply to cars and drivers. Not only do many states regulate guns when they are on your own property, a license to carry a concealed handgun won't let you travel the way a driver's license does. Unless you have a constitutional driver's license and a constitutional carry permit. The proposed National Right to Carry Propriety Act, which I'll post that in the chat room right now. It's a PDF file, but you can skim through it. Charlie's listening. Yeah, Charlie, I did that. There's also another one called PIPA, but we'll get into that a little later on in the show. Let's see. I'm trying to answer questions and everything else here, Bill. But to go back to that, I posted that up in the Propriety Act, passed the House last November by a 272-154 vote, contains two provisions. If your state issues you a concealed handgun license, that permit will let you travel to other states. Of course, you have to follow the rules in the state you visit. So for Illinois, the single state that bans concealed handguns, an out-of-state license won't let you carry a concealed handgun there. If the proposed law had been in effect when Graves or Jerome visited New York, they would have been fined. New York permit holders would have to obey the signs and turn in their guns. That is precisely what Graves and Jerome tried to do. The only difference is they didn't have a New York permit. Similarly, Benedetto and Meckler would have no problem checking their locked and safely stored unloaded guns on their planes. Gun control advocates warned that letting people carry concealed handguns constitutes a dangerous measure and harmful legislation. But we now have an extensive experience with concealed handgun permit holders. In 2011, about 7 million Americans hold permits that allow them to carry concealed handguns, and only one state, Illinois, still bans concealed carry. Well, I'm one of those 7 million, Bill. How about you?
I don't carry a weapon. You know that.
Well,
I have my own reason for that.
Okay.
I respect your rights to do that.
Over the last couple of weeks, the New York Times has launched an attack on a National Right to Carry Reciprocity Act, apparently worried that it has become law. And I'll put that one up in there, too.
I have weapons in my home, and I have no qualms about shooting somebody that was threatening my family. That's the way I feel about that.
Go ahead, Ryan.
No, it's just, the way they pulled that shit about, first of all, I think if you're in an international airport or in any airport, they ought to be a little bit more lax if you have a concealed carry license that, you know, they realize you're stopping off and then going to another location in most cases to where it's still a regulated law, a regulated area, but at the same time, there's certain considerations put in. If they realize you have a concealed carry, obviously you've passed the background test, you know, hold it in a secure location, put it on the plane for you, whatever, let you travel with your weapon. As far as, let's say I go to New York and I'm carrying concealed, from the time I get there, instead of arresting my ass and giving me 3.5 to 15 years because you're a cocksucker, why don't you come up with me and tell me, hey, here's the deal, you've got 24 hours to get your New York permit. Because if I just show up in the state, of course I'm not going to have a goddamn permit because most of those you have to do in person. So what the hell are they thinking by not allowing these people the opportunity to go ahead and get that permit if they so wished? You know, just to slap them with that jail time and everything else is bullshit. I realize the security guard is probably patting himself on the back and talking what a big, tough bastard he is, but he's just a gutless pussy for being stupid and trying to throw his weight around.
No, it's crazy, man.
You try to do the right thing and you get your pee-pee whacked, you know?
Exactly. And, you know, chances are they probably confiscated the weapons regardless. And, you know, like we talked about before, they're not going to have a receipt for them, so chances are they will never get them back.
Just to make sure you get that receipt before you give anything up.
Well, I just jumped on that one. Anytime you get something taken away from you, even your car, the ticket's your receipt.
Yep.
Okay, but if you take your property out of the car, that's what you need to get a receipt for. If they take anything off your person, that's what you ask for the receipt for.
Let me interject there something. We had a guy that came in the shop today and said, you told him before he surrenders anything to get that receipt.
Right.
He was downtown. He got pulled over. They demanded his knife. He demanded a receipt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what you told him to say. And they said, well, just take the knife home. Don't come back down again. They did not take his knife away, only because you told him, get the receipt. And they didn't.
Well, hey, Bill, I told you, I'm not just a good-looking guy. I'm smart, too.
Well, one out of two.
Yeah, 50% is not bad.
Hey, look, I got a mute button here for you, pal. I get enough shit where I'm sitting right now.
I know it. You know, a lot of people don't think on getting a receipt. They don't realize that that's their right to do so, and they feel, you know what, he's got a police report, he's going to write it on there. Who gives a shit? Get your receipt. Cover your ass.
Yes.
Well, on my blog, today's blog, okay, this is called Rules of Engagement. We talked about this the other day, Bill, but you weren't here. And what it is sometimes despite your best efforts, the cops are going to get involved. Maybe someone else called the cops. Maybe you felt the situation warranted their involvement. Or maybe they showed up at the scene. However, they got involved. And they're not going to just go away because you don't want to deal with them. So it's time for you to use your head. A few years ago, I would have said the first rule of dealing with the cops is to remain calm, keep your cool, and don't lose your temper, and...
shut the fuck up.
Okay? That's rule number two.
Don't shoot yourself in the foot.
Exactly. That's rule number two. With the ubiquity of recording devices that we all carry around in our pockets, which is a cell phone, okay, what I do when I get pulled over is when they ask me for my information, I carry everything in my breast pocket. I also carry two things that I carry my identification in. The one I carry in my breast pocket has my registration, my proof of insurance, and I put my driver's license in there, Bill. Why do I do that, Bill?
Easy access, easy identification when asked upon.
That's correct.
Don't give nothing out.
But why? So you don't pull out your wallet and show me your life fucking story.
And you got everything close together, I'm saying, yeah.
Exactly.
You don't reach over here, reach over there.
You
now, may I tell you what's my approach, though?
Yeah, okay, but wait.
Okay,
let me finish. Because you're sitting on your bike, and they're asking you for all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're sitting on your bike. They won't let you put the kickstand down. They won't let you get off it because if you make a move, they're going to kick it and knock
you
over.
Lights in your face.
Blah, exactly.
Yep. Okay.
So if you're reaching for your back pocket, which most people carry it on their right side, what's going to happen, Bill? One or two things.
Go ahead. Yes, go ahead. Yeah.
One, you're going to get knocked in the fucking head or your bike's going to get kicked and fall on top of you because they're going to say he was reaching for a weapon. You're going to say, no, I was reaching for my wallet. They're going to say we didn't know that.
Right.
In the meantime, you got $700 or $800 worth of damage on whatever side of your bike they kicked over.
And we have some friends of ours that keep their ID underneath their seat on their motorcycle.
Right.
In a safety, you know, so it doesn't get waterproof and all that. That's crazy.
Nope.
You pull it out, but only if you're asked to.
Right.
Don't give information
up. And I always, I always ride my jacket zipped up. And I reach for the zipper and I pull it down as I tell them, that's what I'm going to do. I got my left hand up in the air. I pull it down. I reach in my pocket. I pull out both things together.
Right.
One is on top of the other. The one that is on top is my digital recorder.
Mm-hmm.
And I turn it on and I set it on the seat.
Exactly.
And they go, hey, you can't do that. Yes, I can. We're out in public. You're not taking a piss. You're not going in. You're not undercover. And you're not
taking a picture of any cop undercover. This is a local PD. This is certainly in your rights.
Exactly. And when they tried to arrest me for that, they found out 10 minutes later that I was absolutely correct. I don't have to tell them.
That's right.
I don't have to ask their permission. I just turned it on.
I have a little different technique. When I get pulled over, I tell them right away, excuse me,
I'm not
Philip is down at the Firewater Saloon in Oceanside, and they jump in their car and they take off. And so I just ease on home.
Well, no.
Whatever works.
You know,
that's works for me.
No, here's, okay. All right, we'll get to you in a minute, man. That's Gino and Pete. They're on hold. And Nora says that men have boobs. When I said I'm reaching in to pull down my zipper on my jacket and get it out of my breast pocket. Okay.
Well, those of us in shape don't have boobs.
Oh,
I'm just trying to play something out here, you know. Hey, I'm not judgmental.
Right.
You know, I can't believe that people would actually put that stuff underneath their seat. That's as bad as throwing it in your saddlebags where, you know, you have to open it up and they can see what's in there and then they have probable cause to do whatever the hell they want if they feel like it.
You can lead the horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
My brother
right.
and I have a motorcycle shop in Oceanside, Kennedy's Custom Cycles, and my mechanics called me and, Bill, look at this. Right underneath the seat, we have to tell them this is not a good thing to do. I mean, they do what they want to do, but we point out to them.
Right.
Really just causing more trouble. Plus, if you don't have access to something right away, you get a little bit nervous.
No, here's
where the lights in your face.
And here's where they fuck up. Because most nine times out of ten, your seat is screwed to the bike, Bill.
Yes.
Where's the screwdriver?
It's going to be in your tool bag, which is inside your saddlebags, which is when you open up everything.
Which
yeah.
is what you have to open up to get
yeah,
there, right?
Exactly right.
Okay,
yeah.
So now you got a little bag of weed that you forgot that was in there. You just open the door. You're going to get horse fucked.
That's why
you might as well just unpack all your shit right there on the side of the road.
No, they'll handcuff you and then unpack your shit because that gave them probable cause. So at that moment, you're not under arrest. You're being detained pending investigation.
This is America. We are Americans. We're traveling on American roads. We have a right to go out there. But you have to be armed with the correct information. If you're going out there thinking, well, I don't have to account for anything, they're going to mess you up.
Right.
You have to understand the rules and regulations. You have to be prepared to deal with this. If you go out thinking you're not going to get stopped, you're going to be special then, because goddamn it, we cannot go hardly anywhere without getting stopped.
Yeah.
We don't get tickets. We fight it.
But here's what I'm going to do, Bill. I'm going to take a short break because I got to get a drink or something. But I'm going to play. I got a request for George Carlin.
A drink of what?
Pepsi.
Okay.
I'm going to.
You go in the bathroom, aren't you? Don't say that out loud.
No. It's all right. No.
All right.
Anyway, I'm going to play, I got a request to hear George Carlin's American Dream again. So this is about 3 minutes and 15 seconds, and I'll be right back.
You're not going to the bathroom?
No.
All right. Then I'm going to go to the bathroom.
There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucked, and it's the same reason that will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pocket. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged, and nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
Can't say it any better than that, Bill.
Yeah. George says it right on. Hey, during the break, did you put some lipstick on?
No.
What the hell was that?
It's chapstick, Bill.
Chapstick. I just want to ask. Our listeners want to know.
I know, Bill.
Our listeners want to know.
I know. I was out.
What the hell makes you think you got to put chapstick around me?
Don't even start.
All right,
man.
All right.
Okay. Because, like Uncle Ted says,
Ted Nugent speaks for America.
Chapstick, Bill. Of course, yeah. See, here you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
You.
We got Nora in Illinois, outside of Chicago, saying kissing. Bill, watch out. Bill's going to be kissed by Phil.
Where?
Yeah.
Oh.
Then you gotta hang it on. So anyway, all that put aside, reason I did that is Bill, I had a real bad lung infection.
How long ago?
3 weeks now it's been out. I'm getting on the tail end of it, but because of the inhalers I'm using, they dry out my, and I get that dry taste in my mouth, so I have to use a little chapstick.
Well, thank you for sharing that with all of us.
I know. Well, you know, hey, people might want to know, you know. I have to go to see the, after 42 years of welding, I have to go see the pulmonary doctor.
Lungs are burned out?
Something like that. But just to get back to who's live. Pete, you're live. Ryan, you're live.
Yeah, I'm live.
Hey, Pete, how's it going, man?
Hey, Migos.
How you doing, bro?
Doing good.
Yeah,
we're
doing okay out here.
Nora, Andrew.
Hello, everybody. I said, a guy came in last week. He said he liked the show. And I said, what'd you like about the show? He said, I like Ted Nugent. I said, what else did you like about the show? He said, I think that was it. So, I like Ted Nugent now and then. The only thing they liked.
Well, actually, Bill, you know, Billy, we're talking about Billy, but Billy, he said a couple of things the other day.
He didn't say it to me. He just said, like Ted Nugent.
Yeah. Well,
I asked him to call in, but he hasn't called in.
I did a concert with Ted Nugent, you know, back in the
70s.
Yeah, he was good. Yeah, when he slowed down his music a little bit, he took a little break, and I go, Jesus, Ted, how can you hear? And he goes, huh? And he goes, he takes out the earplugs. He says, you better get some earplugs. You ain't going to last in this concert.
What are you doing, security?
Yeah, I did security for Ted Nugent. It was funny. New Haven, Connecticut. It was like, I thought it was going to be, you know, just say big rock band. They came screaming through all the girls. You know, they all drank and them, they did a little drugs. But, I mean, they were drinking a lot of the stuff that Janis Joplin liked, you know?
Yeah.
It was just funny.
Vodka?
I think through the whole thing, I never seen so many people go nuts in my life. It's just when you mentioned Ted Nugent, he also gave me a tail for my leather hat. I had a leather hat.
Yeah, he's big into that tail, the raccoon tails.
Yeah, he loves hunting. He's a good hunter.
Yeah.
And he lives in New Jersey. That's the funny part. I tell you.
So when you think of him, you think of Colorado, you think of Wyoming, you think him living up in the mountains somewhere, but you're saying he doesn't.
He lives in Jersey?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, no, I didn't either.
Used to do a lot of, well, he went out up north for hunting, but, you know, he was a hunter. Right. The trouble is with people, they got to stop voting for the right people. We got to have a country that's by the people of the country.
Didn't Ted Nugent run for president at one time, Gino?
No, you just got to start learning to have the people run the country and get rid of these liberal Democrats and these, that are just giving. You know what? I got a great idea. Let's get in a rowboat, sit in the middle of the lake, and say we're refugees, and that way they'll give us money, a home, and a business.
Yeah, that was brought up on the last show.
Oh, was it? I'm sorry.
Hey, Gino, I don't want to steal the show here, but on Tuesday I had mentioned that we got stopped by the federal police and the local police. I brought it up on the show, but you weren't on the show. Dude, if it's up to these guys, Phil and Bill, you want to enlighten us on that traffic stop by the federal police? What'd you think about it?
Jesus Christ, I get stopped so many times. Remind me, for crying out loud. I'm not even...
We were traveling, and the federal police followed us for about 10 miles.
Oh, we got, and they stopped us at the
Cumberland Farms.
Cumberland Farms.
Private property.
Yeah, private, you know.
And the local police surrounded the car with hands on their guns, and we weren't even moving.
It was funny as anything. I get a kick out of when they pull their guns out on me.
What a joke.
You know, because whenever they stop me, I got a pretty bad record, so I can't blame them really for that, you know. But when you get 65, you think they figure, you're not 22 no more, you know.
Yeah. Hey, you're as young as you feel. If they can't take a joke, fuck them.
But you were speeding, bro. You're doing like 90.
I got a girlfriend. She's 29. Cheer up.
Since when?
I got this girl, Christy.
You get what, from Facebook? You got a Facebook relationship?
Oh, listen, tell you, keep out of the girls around Facebook. They're all alone.
Oh, that's where you met her.
Oh, I didn't meet her Facebook. She's a friend of my son's, my oldest
son. This isn't a dating circle, and I don't want to hear about your first night getting felt up.
Yeah, I told her.
You don't want to hear about that.
I told her, don't kill me.
So and then we wanted to talk about something else now, but
Wait, let me talk about something.
Okay, go ahead.
What, before you jump into that, this is about, what do you guys think about those young Marines urinating on those Taliban crazy people? Do you think they should be prosecuted to the maximum, or
no.
Do you think it should be a small slap?
Not at all.
How do you guys feel?
Cut our heads up on TV. Don't the Taliban do things to us? We don't do nothing to them. How many times they got to do something to us? Are we ever going to fight back?
Yeah, look at Vietnam. There's a perfect example.
Here we captured, cut the ears off the VC for souvenirs.
Christian love, you know?
All right. So does anybody out there think these guys should be prosecuted as bad as they're trying to get them for? Or do you think these guys are young kids, made a mistake, hijinks? Slap on the wrist.
They should have never filmed it. That was the stupidest thing they ever did.
Don't ever keep a record of that shit. What they did was inappropriate. What they did was wrong, but they don't need to be raked over the coals for it. And you've got all these jackasses that are wanting to prosecute our own people for something, and they don't do shit about everybody like we were talking earlier about chopping off Marines' heads and gutting them into town square and all that other shit.
Yeah, they put it on film. Remember when they did that with the army, when the helicopter went down in Samoa and they dragged out the soldiers across the thing there? Nobody gave a shit about that. I'm so tired about us Americans just taking all this crap. I'm all for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and everything else. But you know what? When God got pissed off, he opened up the Red Sea and swallowed an army. So God ain't weak.
Neither is the devil.
Anybody out there that wants to give us a statement argument that these guys should be prosecuted, or are we all in some agreement that small-minded discipline, bad taste, stupidity for filming it, and let these guys go, let them continue on their lives? Anybody want to disagree with that?
Well, Bill, since you guys touched on this, and Ryan sent me this the other day, I just pulled it up, Bill, but I'm going to read it again. And what this is comments by Representative Alan West. He's that retired Army colonel, He's a lieutenant colonel. Anyway,
yep.
We standard an email commenting on the Marines video, and has given us permission to publish it. I have sat back and assessed this incident with the video of our Marines urinating on Taliban corpses. I do not recall any self-righteous indignation when our Delta snipers, Sugard and Gordon, which Gino touched on, had their bodies dragged through Mogadishu, nor do I recall media outrage and condemnation of our Blackwater security contractors being killed, their bodies burned, and hung from a bridge in Fallujah. All these over-emotional pundits and armchair quarterbacks need to chill. Does anyone remember the two soldiers from the 101st Airborne Division who were beheaded and gutted in Iraq? The Marines were wrong. Give them a maximum punishment under their field grade level Article 4 or 15, which is non-judicial punishment, Bill. Had a few of those in my career. Place a general officer letter of reprimand in their personal file and have them in full dress uniform stand before the battalion. Each personally apologize to God, country, and the Corps, videotaped, and conclude by singing the full U.S. Marine Corps hymn without a teleprompter. As for anyone else, unless you have been shot at by the Taliban, shut your mouth. War is hell.
All right, I like that. I don't think we should be attacking our soldiers with that. There was poor choice, penalty for having the camera. But let's be realistic. They didn't do that. They didn't do any of that. Poor taste, maybe. Now, some people are going to tell us, well, it's not right because they're Americans. And why should we be held to a higher rank or a higher responsibility than other people? War,
exactly.
You do things in war. wrong, but again, I don't think they should be doing jail time. I don't want them kicked out of the service. I want them to continue in the service if that's what they want.
People to stand up. Yeah.
Well, it's like those stickers I hand out, Bill. You know the ones that say, fuck up, step up?
Yeah.
People got to stand up and... You know, when the two towers hit and everything else, we did praying. And praying is the only way. Then we come. We become strong when we become one.
All right, let me ask you this question then.
I disagree.
Taliban and all these Muslims, they have these camps, like, to build warriors, right? You guys agree with me on that?
Yes.
You got these camps in different countries, and they're training them to be warriors. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we get any Christian camps like that? Why aren't we building Christian warriors? What's wrong with that?
Well, because if we did that, they would come after us because they weren't allowed, just like those Muslims went after the Catholic university because there were crucifixes on the walls, and they didn't feel comfortable praying because it distracted them from their religious beliefs.
Our Constitution...
I'm sorry, if you go to a...
Right, first of all. You got to understand, our Constitution... we got to use our own Constitution to shove it up their ass.
Yeah, absolutely. But at the same time, you've got people like that jackass in charge right now that twist that Constitution into whatever he feels is adequate, and everything else he says was written for people 200 years ago and doesn't apply anymore. So this isn't a pick and choose what we do. We need to figure out what the hell's going on and stick with it.
Listen, if we had a camp, would anybody feel comfortable sending their children to a camp like that?
That's because they don't understand. You start with children. When you start with children, you're learning them how to hate, and they don't understand why they hate. You can't do nothing until you have children and teach the children that that's, you know, that's the whole problem, you know, is teaching children how to love and how to hate, when to love, when to hate. But they teach their children to hate Christians and Muslims. I mean, Christians and
Jews.
Now, Jews. And if you want to know something, Ishmael, who's the father of all the Arab nation, is half Jewish. They don't even get that they're killing their own people.
Right.
Can we change the topic?
This is not a religious show.
Biker show. But bikers got to start standing up for what their country is. The wars have got to stop. Even Christians are fighting against each other.
Oh, we have to stop it. God's not going to stop it.
God's all in. Right. We're all spiritual.
We're not just
as bikers, we got to do this. We got to stop this. My Harley's better than your Suzuki. My Kawasaki's better than your Yamaha.
We divide ourselves.
We fractionalize ourselves. We separate ourselves thinking that my BMW is the best motorcycle. My Honda Bullwinkle is the best.
What are they separating? Who's number one? Who gives a shit who's number one? Because it ain't going to matter. The government's number one. They're going to destroy everything. Look what they're doing in Australia. They're trying to outlaw every bike club in the country. At the same time, when they make a law against bikers, they're going to take the law and they're going to use it against the Harley's owners groups. The seed of Abraham, they're going to use the same thing to get rid of every other 1%. They're going to use it against you.
They're divided. We do not come together. We have the MROs. We have a bait. We have bolt. We have band. We have who knows what. They're not together. We motorcyclists, we're not together. I stick in a bar, mostly all just Harleys. Now, my screwdriver and I will stop to help a Yamaha, Kawasaki, Harley. Anybody broke down the freeway, we will stop and check on a person, a guy or a girl. But again, we are fractionalized. What power we would have if we would just come together and say, I'm a motorcycle rider, I choose to ride this model. I'm a motorcycle rider, I choose to ride that model. And yet we still can't get over the ego, the attitude, the bullshit. It just keeps us separate. It makes us little people.
Pride, and lust, and revenge. That's our problem. Well, of course, I like lust. Wait a minute. We should leave lust out of it.
All right. But I'm going to switch gears here a little bit. This is going to be a little. I'm going to build up with this one, Bill, Well, check this out, you guys. I want you guys to address this when I get done here. But here's what I'm going to do. This
is a feel good.
Yeah. This is a feel good, and what I'm going to do here is, anybody that's going to hear this song, who's gone through boot camp, knows what to do when they hear this song. You want to tell them what the song is, Bill?
Of the United States Army. Well, how would I know?
Bill, you can read it right there, Bill.
I can read it, but it's not the United States Army one. It's your one.
Okay.
We may come together as motorcycles, but you're a Marine. I'm Army. There's a world of difference there.
Yeah.
But for everybody out there, we love all military.
Send in the Marines for us.
Encore him. Everybody appreciate this, please.
Now, what I want you guys to do is this is going to give you the build up for what I'm going to go into because this is very interesting.
Recognizable song in America, I believe.
That's correct.
That without a doubt.
So is the one for the Army, Bill.
I'm the Army. I don't know if we have one.
Yeah, we do, Bill. Here you go. This is just for you, Bill.
Is this the real Army one or what?
Yes.
All you Marines, let the air out of your chest now. Slow down. Come back down.
Yeah,
Bill,
well,
relax.
We need the Navy, the Army, and the Marines.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die.
Song, but I don't think that's the Army theme song. I'm pretty sure it's not, because that didn't come around to Vietnam. So I think that's more of a popularized version over that. But, you know, either way,
well,
I'll let the people sing along with me. I hope.
I didn't want to leave anybody out for you, buddy.
We want to thank the Air Force. We want to thank the Coast Guard. We want to thank the Navy for all the work there, too. Everybody, every man and woman who put a uniform on, we say God bless you and welcome home. And the one's still over for you to come home. We're waiting for you now.
And the reason I did that, Bill, is there was an article in the paper. And Carla Hogan, mother of the late Marine Lance Corporal Donald Hogan, wipes the tears from her face as she and her husband, Jim Hogan, listened during a Navy Cross presentation and barracks dedication for their son Tuesday at Camp Pendleton. Okay? And I didn't get this until late Tuesday after the show, or I would have talked about it then. But this Lance Corporal is the embodiment of Semper Fi, Bill. Do you know what Semper Fi means, Bill?
Yes, I do, sir. It means, will gun holes work together and Semper Fi always together? No.
No.
What is that? Gun hole is work together and Semper Fi is always faithful.
Always.
All right, I got it back. Okay.
Lance Corporal posthumously awarded the Navy Cross for Valor. I'll give you a little background on what this young man did at 20 years old. Lance Corporal Donald Hogan was remembered Tuesday as an exceptionally upbeat and selfless young man whose valor in detecting a roadside bomb and using his body to shield fellow Marines from the blast that claimed his life. That heroism led Navy Secretary Ray Mervis to come to Camp Pendleton, present Hogan's family with the Navy Cross, the highest award for valor after the Medal of Honor. After the Medal of Honor, Bill. Okay? A new barracks complex has also been named in Hogan's honor. The actions of Lance Corporal Donald Hogan place him in the company of the finest and bravest Marines in our nation's history, my boss said during Tuesday morning ceremony at the base. He is now part of the Marine Corps lore. Mobus said that after examining nominating papers for Hogan that would have garnered him a Silver Star, he elevated the award, Bill.
I have to wonder, again, do circumstances make heroes, or are heroes born? Are they inbred as family, or is it just circumstances that make them? Because these are just average, ordinary people, men and women that go over there, and yet I think circumstances, they rise to the occasion. Not everybody's a hero, and everybody gets the opportunity. But when it does, we all react differently. And those people that give their lives to save another person, there can be no greater sacrifice.
Well, to the highest one that the Navy Department or the Department of Navy can bestow on its own. He displayed the most remarkable bravery in combat, Maybush said. He fully embodied the Marine Corps motto, Semper Fidelis, always faithful, Bill. In August 2009, Hogan was with his unit from Camp Pendleton, 1st Battalion, 5th Marines. They lost a lot of fucking guys over there, Bill, for stupid shit. And on a foot patrol just a few hundred meters from the group's Helmand Province patrol base in Afghanistan. He volunteered to lead the patrol, carrying a metal detector to detect hidden bombs. When he spotted a kite string leading off from a road, recognizing the string as a likely bomb-triggering mechanism, he hurled his body into a fellow Marine to push him out of the way from the explosion. According to the citation, he then rushed onto the road to yell warnings to his squad mates. This desperate effort made this desperate effort to warn the rest of the patrol brought the remaining Marines valuable seconds to begin moving away from the improvised explosive device before it had detonated. Mortally wounded by the explosion, Hogan's extreme act of selfishness saved the Marine's life and allowed the rest of the squad to avoid the full brunt of fragmentation, the citation says. He grew up in San Clemente, Bill, just a little north of us.
Surfer boy, probably.
That's correct. He also followed in the footsteps of his grandfather, late James Hogan, Sr., who retired from the Marine Corps as a gunnery sergeant after seeing action in World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. Maybush said the family members told him as a child, the younger Hogan would get copies of the Marine Corps Leatherneck, which I still get in the mail when it comes out, Bill, and hide it under his pillow so he could read it when he was supposed to be sleeping. His father told the troops, dignitaries, and family members and friends gathered for the outdoor ceremony that his son always wanted to be a Marine. "I'm so glad that my son served with you," he said in a soft, halting voice. "You gave him a chance to be a Marine and stand tall with the ultimate warfighter." The award presentation took place in front of the Lance Corporal Donald J. Hogan Bachelor Enlisted Quarters, a three-building, $124 million complex that will soon be home to more than 1,000 Marines. One of the Marines that served with in Afghanistan, Corporal Andres Carrillo, said his late friend would have flipped upon seeing the ultra-modern dormitory-style barracks that included fully wired entertainment and recreation facilities. It's going to be like going to Club Med, Bill.
Military's come a long way.
Yes, they have. I lived in a fucking Quonset hut, Bill. Like others who know Carrillo, and said Hogan was always happy.
What he said.
You know, it goes back to, again, we take these average Americans from Kansas.
Just a second. I muted the callers because I'm getting reverb back, Bill.
Okay.
So I'll mute you guys when we get done talking about
this.
Let
me just hear real quick. We have people from Kansas coming in there, Massachusetts, we have Texas, California, the average man and woman, and yet circumstances arise, and I'm proud to say these Americans step up to the plate and, again, make the ultimate sacrifice.
Right.
Their own lives to save their other Marines, Army, Navy, and all that. So
right, because no Marine
speaks well.
No Marine thinks they deserve an award for saving the life of someone else, Carrillo said. "I'm glad that he got it, but I'm sad that he's gone." Hogan, and then so on and so on. They hope to keep their son's Navy Cross in the display case that notes the accomplishment of the 1st Battalion, 5th Marine Regiment, whose motto is Make Peace or Die. Colonel William McCullough, the man who commanded the battalion in Afghanistan when Hogan was killed, said the young Marine's heroism displayed in a split-second action was a testament to his upbringing and courage. Making a decision like Donald made shows the core of character, McCullough said. He was clearly someone who also thought of others before himself. Just like today when Bill, you know, the three-star general was talking, he gave a little speech, and he said, "Hey," he said, for you 75 guys standing in the back there, "I have enlistment papers, but don't read them."
Yeah, buddy, they want you again. They want you again. You know, I'm not really sure how I'd react. I don't know anybody listening to me. They don't know how they're going to react. It's simply a matter of when the circumstances arise, you don't think, you just do it. I think that's what's made American soldier fantastic. And then, of course, they always say that our job is not to die for our country.
That's
Let
correct.
The other bastard die for his country. I've always thought that was a good idea there.
No. It is like Mavis, he also addressed the Marine Sniper Squad that made the video, Bill.
Yeah.
And what he said was that the investigation into the Marine Sniper Squad that urinated on the dead Taliban fighters in Afghanistan will be thorough and done fast. I said it was totally inappropriate, and now we have to wait till the investigation is done. Obama administration official in charge of the Navy and the Marine Corps. Mavis' remarks came after a ceremony Tuesday about Lance Corporal Hogan there. Maven said he had not consulted with the Camp Pendleton Lieutenant General Thomas Wildhauser, who was overseeing the Marine Corps investigation in the incident, which involved troops from North Carolina, Bill. If you remember back in the 80s, Bill, what was the little problem we had with the Marines making pornos? The dumb fuckers, the dumb fuckers forgot to cover up their Social Security number.
Again, like you said, appropriate action. That doesn't need to be criminal. And I don't want any of these young men being kicked out of the service or doing any time. All they made was a poor judgment error. That's how I feel
right.
about
it. Right. And the video was made several months ago, Bill, but it touched off a firestorm.
Yeah. Bottom line is, they were young kids, 17, 18, 19-year-old. They did something again. Perhaps inappropriate, but... come on, people are already dead. And why? I respect.
Well, you know why? You know why, Bill? Well, Bill, but you know why?
I don't want to go to court.
No, but you know why? Every day, like Gino said earlier, they teach these kids all these things. Well, every day that goes by is another day that the Taliban and Al Qaeda can use that video for their own recruiting or propaganda.
That's the only bad thing, negative. But I'm more mad that there's going to be more negative action, not about what they did, though. That's how I feel about that.
Right.
So, what I was going to say was, I lost my train of thought, Bill.
Yeah.
But how you guys feel about that while I got you on the horn? Everybody's unmuted again.
Which part are we talking about as far as that guy putting his life out there and saving everybody else?
Yeah.
You know, I agree with Bill when he says that it's, you know, nobody knows how they're going to react. It just depends on the circumstances and, you know, how quickly you think. I think that's awesome that he was able to do that and, of course, willing to do that and had the common sense to know what was going on and see ahead to where he saved a bunch of lives. So definitely deserving of the award, and I'm glad that they're doing everything that they are for him.
Yeah. And you know, the sad part is that this happens – every day something happens, or every couple of days. We lose two or three guys, Army, Navy, Marine Corps, whatever. But the bullshit that you hear is what, Bill?
Say what? I'm sorry.
Two bikers.
What, the two bike? What? Sorry.
Two
bikers in the barf. I'm sorry. Over and over and over. Negative publicity. I'm sorry. I was actually thinking about something. I want to share some. I don't know why. I just want to share it. When I was in boot camp, we were taking a grenade practice. We went out on the field. We were all sitting in the bleachers, and the company sergeant held a grenade in front of him, and we were all in the bleachers. He was explaining before we went out there, threw the grenade, what the procedure was going to be. He dropped the grenade, and he said, "It's live." We had a whole company sitting in front of bleachers, and apparently the object was for somebody in the company to stand up, throw themselves on the grenade, and save everybody in the company. They're looking for natural leaders to jump up and tell everybody to evac.
How far away were you?
Son of a bitch. I was a half a block away behind a big tree. And they called me back and they said, Kennedy, we're hoping you would have thrown yourself on the grenade or that hoping you would have directed traffic. And I figured, hey, they saw me running and they could have followed me. So I always wondered what the hell would happen if I was in charge. I don't know. I want to share that with everybody. Sorry, folks.
But it's like, you know, they give the guy the highest honor they can give him. You know, they're doing things, they don't hand them out very often.
No.
Very often. And when they do, they get it right.
Yeah, they do.
This guy, Maybus, he did it right.
Yeah.
He read the story, and he took it upon himself without asking anybody because he's the head guy. Said, you know what, we're not going to do that one. We're going to do this one.
That's good for his family. That's good for – it's a feel-good story. Because that family has lost their son. And it's certainly no stupid medal can replace their son. But still, knowing that their son gave – knowing that their son was raised to save other people by giving his life, that's going to make that father and mother and those brothers and sisters, wherever he's got at home, that's going to make them feel – we're sorry he's gone, but we're very proud of his actions. I know I would be extremely proud if a relative of mine did something like that.
Well, you have a couple of gentlemen in there right now, don't you?
I have. Yes, I do. I have some nephews in right now. They're also cage fighters, but they're right now they're out to sea doing silly things.
Cage fighting.
I got some big old nephews. I don't know what they feed those boys, but there's some serious cage fighters. And, of course, I think I tell everybody any type of martial art training, any type of self-defense is critical. I don't think you need to be a bully, but you can't allow people to bully you.
No.
You have to draw the line and say, not on my watch. It's not going to happen. If you don't have any training, then you don't have any... You have nothing. If somebody's picking on somebody smaller and you can't do anything to stop them or help them, you know, you wasted the opportunity here. I don't encourage people to join MMA. I don't enjoy people go out there, but I'm saying everybody in my family must be trained in some form of arts of protection. How can you live life knowing that a possible confrontation may come up and you don't have any skills to take care of you or your wife?
Well, I use those, that 1 pound and 3 pound hammer like nunchucks, Bill.
What's everybody in town say? Bill's biggest weapon is once he starts talking, we all give in. That's true, too. But I'm a real proponent of the fact that everybody out there, men and women, listen to me. You need to be able to take care of yourself. You don't need to be a warrior. But for a woman, learn to kick somebody in the kneecap, poke them in the eye, take off running. Do whatever you need to do is be prepared. Do not allow yourself to be a victim. And again, we see situations where Screwdriver and I see bar fights where the boy
grand bar fight.
I wasn't going to let that one go by for a second ago. You know, you have to take care of yourself. You don't have to be a tough guy, but you have to stand up. Now, way back in the day, if you stood up to Hitler, you never got beyond Poland and all that crap, they say. But why do you allow yourself to be out there in public? If it's you're worried about verbal confrontations, go back to school. Learn how to discuss things. Learn to join a debate team. If it's physical confrontation, take the time, boys and girls. Learn how to take care of yourself. Don't mean you got to be a tough guy. Don't mean you got to win every fight. I swear to God, I never won every fight. Everybody in town knows I never won every fight.
Well, what, over 100? And it was 99 out of 1, or 99 out of 100, Bill? And
I was in 100.
The one you won was... You want to tell everybody about that?
I was in 100 bar fights. I lost 99 of them. That's a fact. I can't get around it. The one bar fight I won, well, they're trying to demand a rematch at my age. But it's not my fault. She showed up drunk for that fight. I'm not giving her no damn rematch.
See, like it says, Bill, forgot what hurt you in the past, but never forget what it taught you.
Yes. Who said that? That was good.
Viviana from Chicago.
Thank you very much for that. That's true. For everything negative in my life, it's taught me to prepare myself, so hopefully it won't be negative next time. Mistakes I've made, I try to correct them. One good thing about it, though, and Phil and I both stand this, everything we've ever done in our life, we're accountable for it. We don't hide from stuff. I don't move out of state. I'm accountable for everything I did. That's how you live your life, boys and girls. Look at yourself in the mirror. If you can look at yourself in the mirror and say, that's a good person, you're ahead of most people.
Yes. And we have Bobby on the line from Northern California. Are you there, Bob?
Yes, I am. How are you all doing?
How you doing, man?
Good.
Thanks, Bobby. Thanks for getting me off the hook. Tell me about my bad fighting days. What do you want to talk about, Bobby? This is Bill Kennedy.
How are you, Bill?
Well,
we had a rally on the 9th in Sacramento, and we had two bills that went into the Assembly Transportation Committee, AB 695, the helmet bill, the modification bill to allow rider's choice, and the AB 1047, which prohibits the use of NHTSA funding for motorcycle-only checkpoints here in California. The helmet bill failed, I guess, to make it to the next level. Don't know what the plans are in trying to continue to pursue legislation to get our rights back in terms of freedom of choice on that matter. But fortunately, 1047 went on, unanimously voted to go on to appropriations. And, in fact, the language was so clear as to its effect or negative or non-effect actually to into the state budget, that they had a vote on it a few days ago and passed overwhelmingly, and is now on its way to the Senate. So that's good, but there's still a lot of work to be done there. And it was the first time that I'd ever heard in any type of assembly committee the words motorcycle and profiling discussed in the same sentence. So it was pretty chilling, actually. So look forward to moving that bill forward. So there's a big call out to folks that follow, you know, the MMA and the COCs and the BAIT and general call-outs to all independents to get out and reach out to their state senators to make sure that it's very clear that this is an important topic to all of us and try to get this bill passed and then apply the heat on Brown here in California to sign that into law. Because really, in my personal humble opinion, that once this bill gets through, we have a good shot at using that as a foundation to build more comprehensive anti-motorcycle profiling legislation in the future. So that was goodness that happened in the last couple of weeks.
Hmm. Did you happen to know John Del Santo, by the way, out of San Diego?
I didn't know him personally, but I know that he, you know, was a big institution within Abate.
Yes.
And I know that he had passed. And we talked about him, or he was brought up, memorialized at the Abate quarterly meeting in Sacramento the day before the rally.
Philip and I are going to be leaving next Saturday for a kind of a celebration of life on the top of Mount Soledad in San Diego, and we're going to have a little, you know, a little hugging, little storytelling, little this, little that. They're going to bury him at Fort Rosecrans, the military institution, on Friday. And then on Saturday, we're going to get together about 12 o'clock to 1:15, top of Mount Soledad. So he was a great man that he never – I have an ego problem. I'm not going to hide this bullshit. Everybody knows me and knows me. I have an ego problem. This man has never had an ego anything in his life. Everything he did it for the motorcycle community, Honda, Yamaha, Kawasaki. He never differentiated between them. He talked motorcycles, men and women riders. Everything about this guy was a class act. And truly for me, I'm not a great researcher. He would do research for us. He would get information back in minutes. Would take me days. I thought him and his lovely wife, Fran, still living in San Diego there. I'll be seeing her there. I really cannot tell you what a loss this is to the motorcycle community. He never sought.
He was the main instrument in getting the Amber Alert sign that says, check twice, motorcycles
yes, on
are everywhere.
All the freeways, yeah. He was one, and yet he never sought recognition.
Nope.
I wish everybody hearing my voice could have spoke this man for a few minutes to see what a man, humble man,
unless he was
man.
Talking and you interrupted him. Didn't he let you know how he felt?
Yeah, you like me, so I'm okay with that. But I hope everybody doesn't forget him, because we've had so many great motorcycle warriors. Let's talk very quickly. Red Baron out of San Diego, we certainly should thank him. I guess I want to say at this point here, I don't want Red Baron to pass away. And then after the fact, thank him. We have lost Quigney. He has passed away. We have got Steve Bianco, and he was certainly one of the great proponents.
Along with Merlin.
And his brother Merlin, yes, of course. I didn't mean to. So there's a lot of people out there still alive that are doing a lot of good things, and we should take time to recognize these people. I myself pretty much avoided politics. I thought everybody's just a waste of time. And then I realized it was only a handful of people doing this work. And if we could have just helped them out way back in the day. Now, Philip and I are trying to help everybody out. We didn't help anybody at the beginning. We just kind of let them do. A few people wear so many hats.
Yeah.
But as our call is saying, if we could get together, if we could go to the senators and congressmen, can we help you out? Can we hand some bills out? Can we just be part of your campaign? Can you let your neighbors know what's going on? That's got to be the secret to it. Caller, is there anything you might suggest that people that want to get involved, how they can get involved, please?
Well, Charlie, I'm sorry. Bobby has...
yes, I'll talk to Bob, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What I'm saying is,
okay.
Bobby, you might want to ask him what that means, Bill. And
Bobby, that's a good point there. Let me ask that question. Can you tell us what this MCANSG means? Oh, I was talking, Bobby fell asleep. I get that a lot.
No, Bobby's there.
Still there, Bobby?
Still there, Bobby?
I told you, he fell asleep. I start talking too long again.
No.
I have that problem a lot.
Okay. They might be screwing with us, Bill.
He went to
can
sleep.
Anybody, can everybody hear us? Art, would you type
yeah,
in if you hear us?
You know how Connecticut beat the helmet law? Did you know how Connecticut beat the helmet law?
Hold on a second, Gino. Bobby, are you still there?
All right.
Bobby?
Hello, Bobby.
Bobby, if you have problems, we'd like you to call back next week so we talk a little more about that, because I'd like people to know about volunteers, how they can help.
Well, Bobby's talking to Mark Temple.
Right now? Am I in trouble?
No.
Okay. Mark Temple's pretty, you know, he's pretty up there.
Well,
Mark was a pretty sharp guy, too, you know.
Yeah,
by
he
the
is.
Way. We shouldn't...
No. So, like...
Talking about Lou, we in the East Coast, we had the CMA, Steve Scott. This guy was, he did everything.
Uh-huh.
Hey, you know what, too? Let's not forget, don't forget Texas out there. Anybody remember Texas? Sputnik. Anybody know Sputnik beside me out of Texas? Anybody heard of Sputnik? Yeah, he was a great guy for motorcycle rights. He was a great, great man. Also passed away. We lost him. Kind of wondering if we lose these great people, are we having people stepping up to plate? I'm not sure.
There's a number of us that should stand up.
I know we should stand up, but I don't know. I remember 10 years ago, there were so many people I thought were like giants walking around me. And some of our new motorcycle leaders, I'm not sure that...
Well,
I don't know if they're...
In the old
they
days,
got,
and I talk about the old days, there wasn't many of us, but we were really together.
Yeah, Art says that guy was a great fighter.
What, Sputnik, you remember? Well, you know, I remember going back in the day, I knew everybody in San Diego County. If I didn't know your name, I knew your face. Today, I've got people that drive by me and they try to look right through me. They don't even want to get to know who I am, or they don't want to acknowledge me. It's, I don't know, it's kind of sad. I remember as a young man, I had an electrical problem on the freeway. Whole chapter of Hell's Angels pulled over, helped me fix my wiring on the freeway. I just don't. And we're changing. I guess we're just changing.
Well,
my East Coast cousins out there.
Like
our
says, we need some new young warriors to carry the fight, Bill.
That's exactly what we need to do.
And it doesn't matter what they ride, Bill, as long as they're willing to fight.
Will Art be? Art, will you be joining us up at Mount Soledad on Saturday, maybe? Art, can you type that into me? Is there any chance?
Well, Bobby, MCA and SG Bill says motorcycle clubs are not street gangs.
Oh, that's a nice way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we lost Bobby. Maybe Bobby come back another time. Then all right then.
Well,
so
that was my thing. So I remember when they started a lot of things to keep things. You know, a lot of people copy them, but. I always respected what Hells Angels always did. Without them, they may be 1%, but they're always there when you really needed them. When they were your friend, they were your friend for life. Not brother, you know, because brothers and friends are two different things.
And like I told you before, I have more brothers in the cemeteries than I have friends living today. I'm a real, you know.
I'm with you on that one, brother.
Oh my God!
That's the only reason why I keep on talking about the only reason why Connecticut beat the helmet law is because nobody wore a helmet. They couldn't do it. They write out the tickets.
Yeah. Philip and I are going to be taking off for April. We're going to run over to Arizona for a little get together. I enjoy going this motorcycle run in Arizona. Because it's guys from Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado. They all come down this run. They say, we're not coming to California, Bill. Fuck California. But I get a chance to meet these guys out of the area. Old
it's
face.
A,
guys on rigid frame panheads and shovel heads and knuckles and men and women kickstarting their own motorcycles. It's just it's called the Yuma Prison Run. It's just,
yeah, it might be run. There. It's in February, right? You might see me.
April.
Oh, the April one? I might be going to the February one.
The prison run?
Yeah.
Florence?
Look forward to it.
You talking about Florence?
Yes.
Okay. Keep me up on that if you go, because Screwdriver and I may fly. We're definitely going to be in Arizona in April, but let us know about that Florence thing.
It's coming up in February.
Yeah. Always crappy weather out there. Bring your umbrella.
Hey, come to New England.
Just started snowing here a few minutes ago.
It was snowing here.
Look out your window, Gino.
Yeah, I know. I've seen it. But that's all right. It's $20. I can help my aunt. She's 96, and I still shovel for her.
Well, I'm waiting for Bobby to come back, but
he's not coming back.
No, he'll be back.
He doesn't care about us.
No.
He left the show. He's done. He doesn't care. He probably has more interesting friends to talk than us. That's probably why.
He's probably on a cell phone or lost a signal or something.
No, he's probably got some porno show on. He's just watching that now. He's done with us. He said, can Phil and Bill be more damn boring?
300 Spartans talking about watching something. I'm listening and watching the 300 Spartans. You know what? I think they're like the Marines. If you look at the Spartans, you know. Die on your shield. You come home or you come home on your shield.
Right.
You know, if you really think of the Greek thing, let's not get into that.
Well, I told Nora that I would play a song for her, and he will be at Mount Soledad. He says, "Roll from back east is the fighter now. He was part of the Connecticut Helmet fight." That's very true. The other thing I was going to do was I told Nora that I'd play her a song tonight, and
Nora,
I'm not going to say the heading. I'm not going to say the heading, and I don't want you to
Nora,
say the heading.
Nora, we know you're kind of quiet. We know you're kind of shy, so we'll put this tender love song on just for you, Nora, from Phil and Bill. Just lay back and relax, Nora, and this is going to be as soon as he gets a stupid
voice. Perhaps one of the most interesting words in the English language today is the word... Out of all of the English words that begin with the letter F, fuck is the only word that is referred to as the F word. It's the one magical word, just by its sound, can describe pain, pleasure, hate, and love. Fuck, as most words in the English language, is derived from German, the word fricken, which means to strike. In English, fuck falls in many grammatical categories. As a transitive verb, for instance, John fuck. As an intransitive verb, Shirley fucks. Its meaning's not always sexual. It can be used as an adjective, such as, John's doing all the fucking work. As part of an adverb, Shirley talks too fucking much. As an adverb enhancing an adjective, Shirley is fucking beautiful. As a noun, I don't give a fuck. As part of a word, abso-fucking-lutely, or in-fucking-credible. And, as almost every word in a sentence, fuck the fucking fuckers. As you must realize, there aren't too many words with the versatility of fuck, as in these examples describing situations such as fraud, I got fucked at the used car lot, dismay, aw fuck it, trouble, I guess I'm really fucked now, aggression, don't fuck with me, buddy, difficulty, I don't understand this fucking question. Inquiry, who the fuck was that? Dissatisfaction, I don't like what the fuck is going on here. Incompetence, he's a fuck off. Dismissal, why don't you go outside and play hide and go fuck yourself? I'm sure you can think of many more examples. With all of these multi-purpose applications, how can anyone be offended when you use the word? We say, use this unique, flexible word more often in your daily speech. It will identify identify the quality of your character immediately. Say it loudly and proudly. Fuck you.
Philip, are you sure that...
Perhaps one of them...
Are you sure that little shy, quiet Nora, that's the one that Nora wanted?
That's...
Are you sure? Because, you know, she's kind of innocent, you know. I don't know.
Well, actually, the reason I did that, though, was to sometimes you just got to say what the fuck.
Well,
sometimes you just got to tell people to get fucked. Sometimes you got to tell people to shut the fuck up because, you know, basically there's no I in team, Bill, but there's three U's and shut the fuck up.
That was good. That was pretty good. That was off the cuff. Off the cuff. You know, when we got Gino and Pete on the phone, I got to tell you something. I hope you guys can appreciate this. This is not meant to be depressing, but Philip and I got about four of our friends are going to be dead in the next few months. It's the way life is. We got one guy dying of Parkinson's disease, and they're already trying to take the license away from him now. Got to have two major heart surgeries. He's not going to pull through it. We got big, I won't say the names, we got a big boy out there. His mind's gone. And then we got, let me say Bob's first. Bob's, they're done with him for treating cancer. Anyway, we're going to take these four bikers. We're going to go to Arizona, and their families are all getting upset, the wives and all that. What if they die in the way? You know what, boys and girls, I'm going to tell you something. There's no guarantees on life.
Mm-mm.
You may die the night before making love to your old lady. But we're going to take
dying
these guys.
Dying only living forever.
So, say what, brother?
Dying only means living forever. I will put them in prayer and light a candle, because death only means coming back. We will. We'll come back young. I wish people would read what we are. Our bodies have. We have spirits. We have souls. We go someplace.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
And we never end. We never die. Just the body dies.
Yeah, I've got the roadmap all lined up. I got everything. We had one big one phone call today we all had to decide on. At the Yuma prison run, they have camping. So I asked all these guys, do you guys... want to bring your sleeping bags and tents? And they went, are you out of your mind? These guys
hotel.
Are dying. They said, we want to have a nice hotel. So I don't know if we're going to go one way. I don't know if we're going to make it both ways. But it doesn't really matter, guys. April, we're going to give it a shot. God willing, the creek don't rise. If they have to come back in the back of a truck, that's the way it's going to come back. But not going to just say goodbye to our friends.
No.
Never say goodbye.
The other thing is, Philip and I are healthy. Everybody else is falling all around us, just falling apart.
Let's see. We'll see each other. There's a big party in the sky. We'll be there.
I believe so. There's a song. I don't know the song, but it goes like this. I've gone to home, but I won't be alone. There's a lot more of my people up there. Nora, are you on the phone? Nora?
Yes, I'm here.
I have to ask you, did Philip embellish that statement? Did you really request that song?
No.
I didn't think so. I thought you were
pulling. I said I was going to play a song for her.
You dedicated that song to Nora?
No,
but
he didn't tell me what it was.
That she could use.
Oh, my. Now, you know what? In the presence of a lady, you and I should try to act like gentlemen.
I am.
Maybe she was thinking something romantic was going to come out of your lips.
Oh,
and again, Nora, you got the wrong lips. You think anything romantic is coming out of his lips.
We all say it.
Exactly. But, the other thing, Bill, is I got an alert.
Oh, man, the new laws. I'm fed up with this.
I got an alert, Bill.
Tell us about our East Coast cousins. Let them know what the hell's going on in California.
Let everybody know. Midwest, East Coast. All over the world, they're going to hear about this, Bill, because this is the same bullshit that fucking I talked about with the Ponzi scheme. This is an alert. It's California traffic tickets. Californians have to be very careful out there. This is from the Los Angeles Times article, Bill, on the subject of flooring it on car fines. Please be extremely careful in driving and car registration and insurance matters. State of California is broke, and they are trying hard to squeeze all of us hard to collect money. Effective immediately, if you do not stop at a red light, be ready to pay $436 in fines. If you pass a school bus with flashing red lights, you will be charged $616, Bill. The state of California is going for blood. Be extra careful in driving. You cannot afford messing with them. The highway patrols are under pressure to issue a lot more tickets. Be aware of the radar guns, the highway and traffic cameras and everywhere, and a tougher enforcement of the parking rules. Just for your info, the next time you park in a handicap zone out in front of your shop where they put the sign in front of your sign, even for a minute, you will be looking at almost $1,000 parking ticket, so it better be worth it. California needs the money, so pay close attention to the rules of the road.
You know, we had a guy in a handicap truck come up and park there, and the cops pulled over, code enforcement, they want him to show proof that he had that sticker and all that.
We're going
to
get into that, though, because here it is. Huge California traffic ticket fines, they are effective 1-6-2012.
What's going on in California?
This is it, buddy.
This is it. Check this out. The vehicle code 128.14.6, $214 to obey license provision. In other words, your license isn't up to date. They're going to charge you $214. So the $20 or $30 you spend at the DMV is a better deal. Failure to notify the DMV of your address change within 10 days. Note, the fine may be reduced with valid proof of correction. So in other words, if you get your license...
If you correct it, they'll reduce it down.
$796 for failure to provide evidence of financial responsibility. These fines may reduce... There's a new court program, Bill. This fine may be reduced by completing authorized child seat diversion. Responsibility insurance. No, this fine may be reduced with proof of insurance or on or after the violation date.
It's a correctable.
Yes.
With reduced fine.
$436 for not stopping at a red light. Unsafe speed. 1 to 15 miles over the limit is $214. Unsafe speed 16 to 25 miles over the limit is $328. $214 for failure to stop at a stop sign. Passing a school bus is $616. Driving while using a wireless phone, not hands-free, first offense is $148. Driving while using a wireless phone, not hands-free, each subsequent offense is going to be $256, Bill. Driving while using a wireless device to send or write a text, $148. Minor driving while using a wireless phone, $148. Parking in a bus loading area, $976. Parking in violation of a disabled parking provisions, the first offense is $976. If you do it again on the second offense, it's $1,876. Unlawful material on vehicle windows, in other words, tinted windows, that's $178, Bill. Now, this is where the bikers are getting involved in this one, Bill. Vehicle code 27150 is...
That's a helmet thing?
No. That's the muffler, Bill.
No.
Adequate muffler required.
Oh, like your loud exhaust system, yeah.
Right. $178. They can't do anything without a meter, Bill. Mm-hmm. Mandatory use of the seat belts went from $25 to $148, Bill. $436 for mandatory use of child restraints. This fine may be reduced by completing an authorized child seat diversion class to the cost of $235. That's the rear plugs covering both ears, $178. Violation of the motorcycle safety helmet requirements went to $178, Bill, from $159. $616 for commercial driver logbook violation. $256 for no evidence of a current registration. Note the fine may be reduced with valid proof of correction. Notify the DMV change of address within 10 days. This fine may be reduced with valid proof of correction. That's $178. Improper display of your license plate. No, it's the first reduced with valid proof of correction, which is where we try to tell them guys, Bill, you can't ride with a vertical plate.
Right, it's got to be horizontal.
Now,
you know, let's talk about this. They're going to get me on the traffic lights and the stop signs because I come up, I have my right foot on the brake pedal, my left heel touches the ground. Pop the clutch, I'm gone. They're going to get me on that. You are a much better person on that. They're going to get you on is that speeding. You speed more than I do. That's a goddamn fact. You ride with me, but I see you. They're going to get you on that speeding. They're going to get me in that damn stop sign, red light thing. I don't run them. I just kind of...
And I don't speed.
I roll. Oh, Jesus.
I roll a little bit, but
yeah,
I don't speed.
Yeah.
And our
nobody here is buying that story.
Well, you know, hey, I'm sticking to it.
Yeah.
But it's all about the money, not safety.
That's exactly,
exactly
right.
Exactly what it is. That's what I'm boiling down to, Bill. It's all about the money. Anybody want to chime in on that?
They're doing it all over the country. They're even doing it in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Raising everything.
Well, the city of Napa... In Napa, California, just got $235,000 to do motorcycle checkpoints, Bill.
Well, they're using also this as a tool to break up the motorcycle clubs. Without saying any names, you and I know several motorcycle patch holders who have to ride in a car.
Right.
And they put their colors on when they get out of the car, but the fact is, because they get so many petty violations, the cops and the courts pull their license.
Right.
So that's just another way, another tool they have of controlling the clubs and all that.
Well, you know, it's...
Dying might not be that bad.
Kind of sad when three or four bikers get out of a car and have to put the colors on because none of them can drive their motorcycles on the road. That's, or one prospect's driving three patch holes around because only he's got the driver's license.
Yeah. I drove without a license for 20 years. So
yeah,
I
but that was before computers.
I know, but I did it.
In California, you could get so many tickets, run across the board to Arizona, get a P.O. box, get a new driver's license, and you're good. But when this demon, this spawn of the devil, computers, they came into being, they're controlling everything now. We are not independents. We are everywhere. Screwdriver and I cross the border into Mexico. Mexican cops wave at us. Hello, they don't care. We come back to America. They stop us. They got the computers on us. They got the cameras on us. Want to know where we've been, how long I've been down there. They want to know my life story. What the hell do I got to tell people my life story for? I'm coming back to America. I'm a U.S. citizen. That's all you should know. And they want no stupid questions about us.
Hey,
stop by the police. Where you been? Where you going?
Point A.
Come on.
Where are you coming from? Point B.
Yeah.
You're not going to answer my questions? I don't have to.
Do you know any motorcycle gang members? I love that one. It's my favorite.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I love that one.
Absolutely. Or, you know, the reason I stopped you is I had a question. You know, there's not really a strong presence like there was 2 or 3 months ago. Where's everybody at? That's why you pulled me over? Am I free to go?
My younger brother's Mike Kennedy. They pulled him over just a while ago. They asked him to take his jacket off. They want to see if he's wearing colors underneath the jacket. And my brother's not club people. He said, I thought club people wore their colors over the jacket. And the cop says, well, I'm thinking that everybody's wearing them underneath their jacket now. My brother says, you better find some club people, then I'm not going to answer those questions at all. But to get stopped to ask, take your jacket off to see if you get colors. That's beyond stupidity.
Yes. Hey, Ryan, what's going on in Colorado? How are the laws over there, man?
You know, honestly, I haven't, probably not the best thing to say. I don't really know too much about what's going on out here. I get most of my information from what you guys are saying. Most of the bikers I used to hang around with were all in South Dakota. So since I've been back here doing, you know, 9-to-5 job and all that, I've kind of gotten away from knowing too much about them.
Doesn't matter what state you're in. It's just another, like you said, we use the word Ponzi scheme, but I just call it revenue collecting. It's the same thing.
It is. They just have to have something to get some money coming in.
Correct.
So that's about the only place they can get it. When you've got the vast majority out there riding a bike, that's where they're going to aim.
Now, we have the smog law in California turned down again this year in California. However, there is a smog law in Arizona, and it's only a matter of time. Even if the smog test is bullshit, Yamaha, Kawasaki, Suzuki, BMW, Harley, on and on. If every motorcycle has to be smog tested, that's tremendous revenue. For 5 or 6 years, we've been watching and watching as the state of California tries to pull this smog program through. It's still not, for the cars and trucks, yes. Motorcycles skipped it one more year, but I don't know how many years. It's too much revenue. Do you agree on that?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And they've got that out here, too. They just passed it, I believe, middle of last year, where you can't let your car idle. If it's wintertime and you want to go out and warm your car up, If it's sitting in your driveway and you're not in it and it's running, you get a ticket.
Hmm.
So.
Get out of here.
Hey, we had a friend of mine out in front of the bar. There was seven of us there. All our diners were backed into the curb. One guy decided he was going to leave, so he walked over, he started up his bike, then he grabbed his jacket, he walked back over to say goodbye to everybody. Cops sitting across the street in the alley, doesn't say anything, doesn't do anything. He leaves, she jumps on the radio, has a guy pull him over 2.5 miles down the road 15 minutes later, and gives him a ticket for leaving his motorcycle unattended. Said it was a safety issue in court.
Running, yes.
Got caught in a total lie. The commissioner said, so if I pulled my BMW out of the garage and I started it up in my driveway, you'd give me a ticket? As far as I know, most people do start their bike to let it warm up before they get on it to ride it to make sure everything's okay so it doesn't choke out or, you know, stall in traffic. And basically, she said, so the kicker was, he asked her straight up, so you're the one that pulled him over? Yes. Really? Then why is this other officer's name on the ticket? Well, I had him fill it out. But you didn't, and so they swore that guy in, the testimony you're about to give is truth, the whole truth. That guy said, well, actually, I pulled him over. Boom. Sunk the, right there, everything stopped, dismissed, and the interest of justice.
He's a good kid, too. Clean cut, nice guy, you know. Goes back to selective enforcement. What they'll do to one person, they may not do to another, and we've all encountered that. I've been pulled over in the slow lane for speeding. When people are going by me in the fast lane.
Right.
Why?
We've been pulled over.
On a black motorcycle, blah, 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 you know. That's the way it is. I'm not complaining.
Got you for 38 and the same.
No.
Got you for going 38 and 35.
Yes,
and
yes,
got
yes.
me for going 36 and a 35.
Yeah. I'm not saying this because I'm trying to say I'm going to complain. I'm not saying this. I'm going to quit riding. I will not quit riding.
No.
I talk about this so other people can realize. You're not alone. We have the same problems there. There's no reason for us to quit. We have to sit, though, and I was hoping that that guy, Bobby, would tell us more ways that we can get involved in the community, so maybe we get him on the phone next time. You know, the Oceanside, the Highway Patrol pulled me over, and the Bikers Task Force, and they want to know if I heard of a guy named Gino, Pete from Boston. I said, no, I don't know those guys. So.
You know,
I said, hell, they're down the bar with Phil. Go down and get them all down the bar.
Well, you know, you remember that. You remember that those guys pulled me over from Homeland Security.
Yeah.
I didn't pull over right away. I drove to the Highway Patrol office, and I ran up to the door. Well, I didn't run up to the door. I nonchalantly walked up to the door and banged on the door. The guy came out, and I said, I don't know who these two guys are. So he went over to find out who they were.
Yeah.
I talked about this on Tuesday's show.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they were in a Dodge Hemi Charger, all black. The lights went on in the grill. The blinker started going. You wanted to know why I wouldn't pull over when they turned the lights on? Because I didn't know who they were.
I work on two bikes which belong to Homeland Security people, and they've not been near my shop for 6 months. And the reason being, they said if they come to my parties, the pictures are being taken, they're being called to task. If their bikes are being worked on my shop. So these guys have had to take the shops.
Right.
Homeland Security. Friends of mine, before they were Homeland Security, and now because of their job and because Big Brother's watching them, I can't treat these people. I can't work on their motorcycles anymore.
No. Well, they're not only watching them, Bill. They're watching us, too.
Well, whatever.
Which really don't care. So, Nora, what's, you know, Nora had an interesting thing today. Are you still there, Nora?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. Well, there's, you know, Bill, you know, everybody uses the internet now. Okay?
Right.
Except for Bill.
Except for Bill Kennedy. Well, what I'm saying is everybody uses the internet right now.
Yes, that's true.
Right.
There's certain things that can get posted on your page or Facebook,
yes,
or whatever. Within reason. Because some things,
yes,
are trademarked and some things are copyrighted.
Exactly.
Listen to this. What has Nora got posted?
No.
Okay, I want to hear this. Go ahead.
Okay. What I'm saying is certain people are allowed to post certain things. I happen to,
right,
be one of them that can do that.
Okay.
We remember this discussion?
Yes, we have. Go
ahead. Okay. Now, there's certain people out there that post it, and basically when you say something to them, they block, they block
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
They delete you.
Mm-hmm.
They run and hide.
Mm-hmm.
But they will not stop doing what they're doing. Then when they get information from whatever club they're posting the information on,
mm-hmm.
and they tell them, it's basically they block, delete, or ignore them.
Right.
But what dumb people don't know is whenever you sign on to the computer, you have what they, just like your mailing address, just like your driver's license, just like your driver's license number, you have an IP address. That IP address can be traced to where, like right now, there's a guy in the room right there right now that is, he's with the ATF,
mm-hmm.
okay? I know he is, he knows I am, you know, he knows that I know who he is,
mm-hmm.
because I've already sent messages to him. But what I'm saying is, you can't do it and run and hide, because the IP address will not keep you shielded from anybody.
All right.
Okay?
No, now, but people think that, and they'll hurry up, they'll get rid of their page, start a new one with a different...
Do it all over again.
A different email address, and they don't realize they're still using the same IP address.
That's correct. See, if you want to play with the big dogs and get on the porch, you got to do your homework.
Exactly.
No, I forgot. What state are you calling us from, please?
Illinois.
Illinois, okay. I forgot.
Okay.
That's why I asked the question. Why you got to be
it's
so...
It's okay. Hard? I'm in the Midwest.
Okay.
What was for dinner, Nora?
I had pizza.
Pizza? I'm starving.
I had homemade soup for lunch. I made a cream of potato soup yesterday.
Oh, I like that.
You know, it's like
nobody feeds, no one takes care of me. I'm starving.
Well, then you didn't train your wife well because I bake and I cook. That's a joke.
Well, no. just like, okay, Bill, what I want you to do, I just pulled something up, and this is off one of my brother's sites, but I have this posted on mine also, but I'd like you to read this because this is what happened.
All right, now we're ready. Derogatory comments about any club on WTN.
Don't say it. Just read this.
That's what I'm reading.
Okay,
verbatim,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, okay.
Don't touch me again, I told you. Don't be touching me in the air, goddammit. Keep your old side to this.
First it was kissing, now it's touching, really?
It's a chapstick thing, I'm telling you. Banned from the site, and the comment will be emailed to the club it was made to, along with the poster's IP. Always remember, after you have respect, it is easy to disagree and still get along. I'm going to read the stuff down here. Is that good enough there?
No.
All right, then. You catch it.
Debating or challenging the discussions is fine, but you have to respect the members. Being from a different background, members are likely to express different opinions. And I'll say sites instead of who decided, but I have the same thing written on mine. Will not tolerate stupidity, insulting posts, or personal attacks or club attacks. Flamers, trollers, or people causing board wars are not tolerated here. Posts that taunt or are derogatory to other clubs will be removed and you will be banned. Each member is allowed one login account. Registering with multiple accounts is not allowed and will result in both accounts being banned. Member swapping accounts will result in both accounts being banned. Any Leo or Leo supporters will be banned.
I don't understand what Leo is.
Law enforcement officer.
Oh, what?
Okay.
How would I know that?
They can't get on mine.
I didn't know.
They can't. They can read it, but they can't join.
Why are you
it.
Looking at me like I would know
I'm
what
not,
LEO
I'm,
means? I don't know what that
I'm
means.
Talking.
I don't know. I'm curious why you know
I'm,
what it means.
Well,
right,
because
yeah.
I have a daily basis with them guys. Anyway, membership is a privilege. It's not a right. And as a private site, the moderators have total say to which members are in and are which members are and are not allowed. The same rule applies to anything deemed to be inappropriate by any moderator will be removed. Moderators have the final word in anything and everything. If you have a problem or complaint, direct it to them. Cops and Leo supporters will also be banned. Respect is always earned.
More like that.
Mm-hmm. That's basically mine in a nutshell. Also.
You and I have tried always to give everybody respect. We would not shut somebody off, even if we disagree with them. To get respect, you have to give respect. We understand that.
You know, it's just like anything else. But people say, no cops or Leo supporters are allowed, and when discovered, you will be banned, which means you won't be able to get in there. And what the multiple IP addresses that people try and use, it doesn't work. When you change your say you're with Gmail and you go to Yahoo, you still have the same IP address. When you change from Facebook to MySpace, you still have the same IP address. You can't hide.
Right.
But too many people think they can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where somebody, you know, when they talk about bullying, you know, through students, you know, from one to another, whatever the case may be, in that regard, they do it over the internet. They don't think they can get caught, and they don't understand what the IP address does.
Oh, and it's just like the Yahoos who go out and rob the local 7-Eleven or the liquor store and come home and put the video on YouTube. Then they wonder
right.
why they're getting 2 days later. Or the gang members who posted the shooting they did, and then they wonder why they're all locked up.
You know, I don't want to hide behind this damn computer, too. That's one of the reasons why you and I tell everybody what runs we're going to be at.
Yeah.
You can meet me in Arizona in April. You can meet me over here. We'll be at Mount Soledad. Anybody that wants to discuss anything with us in person, that's fine. On air, off air, we're not hiding from anybody. I would love to listen to somebody's discussion if they disagree with us. It doesn't mean I have to agree. But if you have a point of view I was not aware of, please let us know. Email us, text us, or call us up, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, eh.
See, my plan is to eliminate eventually all these guys from talking. I just want women to call us up. That's my own program. That's my theory.
But, so...
You and I have been together too long.
Yeah, but
what
I'm saying is, you know, there's Yahoos everywhere, you know. And sometimes you post things and you don't think about it, or like when I get excited and I start reading and I fumble and stumble a little bit with the
You're
words.
Not getting excited now, are you?
No.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is...
Because if it is, I hope you get excited.
Oh, he already played that good song. He's
yeah.
over that now.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, think before you act, basically. You know, it's just like walking into the bar wearing the wrong shirt. You chose to wear that shirt. You need to represent.
That's true. Think before you act. A couple of weeks ago, I had a little confrontation. Did you think before you jumped in the middle of that, or did you just come right in there?
No,
you didn't think at all. You went right out there.
Well, only because they were outnumbered.
There was yes.
They were outnumbered.
Radically.
And I didn't care who...
We don't need to say blah, blah, blah.
No,
I
didn't care who was reaching for what
yeah.
or anything. And the only reason I basically got in the middle on that one side was because there was a table with like 1,000 knives on it.
That was strange.
And I really didn't want a bloodbath.
You don't get in a fight with a vendor selling knives next to you. That's really dumb. But anyway, that's a different story and all that. No, I appreciate that.
I think
people will be respectful of each other, you know, that's all I ask.
Yeah,
don't agree with us.
No, and then it's
don't change your mind.
No,
yeah.
And it's just like that day I did that, and then over the next few days, you have people come in and ask me, what was I doing? Did I have big balls? What did they think I was going to do? What did I do? We quelled the situation.
But so again, one of the things I do want people that are listening to us, do not call in, do not be afraid to call in to disagree with us.
Right.
Because maybe by listening to your side of the story, I may get some new information. We may change our minds on a subject, something like that. So just because we're talking about a subject and Screwdriver and I are leaning to the left or to the right, and you disagree, call us up and say, hey, you know what, I hear your point, but let me tell you my point. We will not shut you off.
No. This is right now, like I said Tuesday, Bill, if we talk about something... and it happens to be about something in the news,
yeah.
We never mention a name unless we get permission to mention a name.
Right.
Okay?
That's respect.
It's respect.
Yeah.
But the other side that's involved in that incident also gets the airtime.
Exactly.
I send them an email.
We always have.
And I send them an email. And I say, hey, look, if you guys want to respond to this,
mm-hmm.
this is neutral ground. This is sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
This is the place.
If you wish to tell your side, fine.
That's it.
If you don't wish to, we won't bring it up, make
we
a comment positive
no.
or negative. By the way, tell me, if I check in tonight, how many countries showed in tonight? Anybody? I keep looking for my one Japanese guy, my Chinese guy.
We'll go there. He should be there. He was there Tuesday.
Oh, good. In case you don't know, we have one guy in China who listens to us, and what we're doing is our show is illegal in the communist countries, not our
There's
particular
There's a lot of things illegal there.
No, I like to listen to see if this guy's checking.
We're in New Zealand, Indonesia, Greece, Denmark, Brazil, Finland, Egypt, Australia, Canada, the Ukraine, Germany, France, Italy, the United Kingdom, Australia, the Ukraine, Switzerland, Russia. There's Pete's buddies again, Russia, and Denmark, and Brazil.
Yeah.
And the other thing we had today, we had somebody's got their thing on, but we had 41,952 hits on the pay bill.
Hmm. Well, that screwdriver and I, how come we don't have sponsors, and how come we're not doing this and all that?
Because I don't like anybody to tell me what to do.
That's
I
right.
have a choice.
That's right. That's the point right there, boys and girls. We want to talk about what we want to talk about. If you want to talk about something, we'd be glad to hear. But we will not allow somebody to get a free promo on the show just because they're giving us money. We're already broke. Money means nothing to me.
That's correct.
I have a Harley and a pickup truck. What the hell more do I need in life, you know?
Right on, bro. Right on.
So, anybody got any comments? You know, this is a good time, Bill. We got a few minutes left. But we got all the time we want, but feedback.
Yeah, we're a good point. Listen, let me ask first our wonderful, beautiful, lovely lady from the Midwest. What would you like to see the show? What direction would you like to see the show go in there? Any comments on it? Did we test things or anything? Nora?
I enjoy it all the way around. Because it goes everywhere. It just doesn't stay focused on one thing. That's what I like about it. Does that help?
Well, absolutely. No, hey, absolutely, because we can take constructive criticism. If we do something wrong...
We take a lot of constructive criticism.
We do. We get a lot of heat for the things we do, but after they hear it or they listen to it a couple times, then they come in and agree with us.
We get people to call us, you two aren't very professional. You know what? We're honest people. And
but nobody
should
be professional. We're just stating if it's newspaper facts, news channel facts, or just what you know in regards to facts, say a job or whatever the case may be. That's what it should be, and that's what I like about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's my personal opinion.
Pete and Gino, any comments you want to make about the show? Anything you want us to... any direction you want us to travel? Yes. Oh, we lost. Pete, Gino, we got you?
Yeah, I'll comment.
Okay.
Well, you're done.
You
definitely have a good variety of topics. You're not sticking to one, which is good, and that's what people want to hear. They also want to hear lunatics like Gino and I calling in, which helps. And the other good thing is Bill and Phil, you guys don't always agree with each other, which makes for a good show. And I know this because I do a TV show with Gino, and we argue in the show. But then we agree on some things. So I think the show is great. You have a great variety. I think you should try to get some more special guests on the show. Phil, I sent you one.
Trying to dial out. Somebody's on the
phone. I don't know
who
that is.
Somebody got lost.
There we go.
Go back now. Go ahead.
Maybe some more special guests coming on, but I've been coming on the show for a long time, Phil. You know that, and it's gotten better because the variety and the people that are coming on, and the topics aren't always the same. You know, so it's a great show. I love it. I try to tune in every Tuesday and Thursday. So, but you know. Try to get some special guests on, and I know, Phil, I sent you one. I know the guy's a little strange, and we'd have to talk about that on the phone.
Hang on one.
Hang on.
We're calling someone?
Hands up.
Hey, it's Charlie. Sorry I missed you, but I'm out making it happen, so leave a message and I'll get right back to you.
At the tone, please record your message.
Are you calling?
Yeah. Yeah, I was calling to give her time for a free plug. Yeah, we could do a live show from the Humor Run, Bill.
That'd be nice. That would be something arranged for Vegas or something. So anybody that the sound of our voice is good at the Humor Run, please try to figure some way to sit and talk to us. Meet us down there. Pretty easy to spot us walking around. We'll be talking to some of the... But any of our friends are going to be at Humor. Maybe Tiger Lily coming down. Anybody, I would like to see some faces with the voices I speak to always.
Right.
Well, once I get off probation, Bill, I'll be going to California, so...
You'll be staying then, brother. You'll be staying.
That's a definite, brother. That's a definite. So, expect me. And I'll be staying. Yes, I will be.
Room for one more always.
I appreciate that. Get the hell out of Massachusetts.
I'm trying to load up a song right now. Once it comes up, I want...
please, not the F word. We already heard that one.
No. This is
I'm not getting enough women vets.
I want to
thank all of the male vets always that call in and all that. But, you know, if there's some more women vets out there that would like to call in, man, I'd like that. And I know that some of the lady girls, they come to my shop and they say, Bill, I'm listening to you. Well, you're a woman vet. There are other women out there that want to hear your story. Or they want to hear you just say something positive about America. What is the use of coming to my shop or catching Philip down in San Diego? Talk to us on the air. Certainly by now, anybody listening to us, you know, we're easygoing people. We're not going to make anybody uncomfortable.
Right. And we got everybody saying goodnight and everything, but I don't want you guys to leave while you're here. I'm going to play this song for you. This is by Kelly's Lot. We're going to close the show with this. I'll see everybody to join us on Tuesday as well as Thursday next week. But this is a song by Kelly's Lot, Bill. You remember Kelly? And
yes.
This one's called I'll Go, It's a Soldier's Oath.
Good. And Gino needs to get back to us about that run and going to Florence maybe later. We need to follow through on that. Don't lose that. Maybe we can make that too.
Yeah, maybe.
It's a good way to
do a live show from the prison run.
I might be with him.
Good. Yeah. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play this song right now. This is called I'll Go by Kelly's Lot. It's a nice little band that we know.
Feel good.
It's a nice little band that we know here that's out of the L.A. area. And I'm going to close this out with this, and I thank everybody again, but I want you to stick around and listen to this song because it has a great meaning.
Peace.
All right, we'll see you guys.
Night.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for taking the time.
And you.
Nothing ever felt so hard in all my years before. For 2 years and counting, I gave my word. You are now a soldier, is what I heard. You say what you feel is right, and I'll do. much better if you could just give me a little smile, maybe shake my hand while I leave this town. I hope next year we'll all be
good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.